program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC. Imam Dr. Miraj speaks Blog Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the Merciful Benefactor, the Merciful Redeemer. As-salamu alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the Tafsir of Imam Waruf Din Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talk, go online to www.blogtalkradio.drmirajspeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the ones that you have missed. Once again, we will open with a short dua and then we will continue where we left off yesterday. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihil kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. Before we get started this evening, we're asking everyone to make a dua, a prayer for our beloved sister Joyce Bell Copps, the wife of Robert Copps. May Allah forgive her of her shortcoming and grant her paradise. Speak in tongues. Bones builder building is an edifice and divine truth is edifying. Bone means law. But this is not enough. God says out of the fetus lump, bone. It is not enough for me to talk like you talk. I have your mind and be formed in it, a clot of flesh, not the blood that you can just easily wipe the blood up. If it clots, you can wipe it up. But that fetus lump is flesh already. You can't do that. The thought have been put into the child so long that you can't take them out that easily. You have to tear the flesh up and kill the thing. But God doesn't want it like this. It says he caused in the flesh bones to grow. And this is true, too, in science. Your bones don't form before your flesh. Flesh forms then bones in the flesh. So what does this mean? When we speak of a structure, we call it an edifice. And when we speak of logical structuring God's truth as a logical argument, we call it edifying. In the New Testament, Paul said, there is one thing to have the Holy Ghost, and there is another thing to have the power of edification. The bones come in, it means, now I have learned how to defend my mind that I've gotten from the world. I can reason by myself. I know how to put the law in argument and structure. I can form a premise and then begin defending it by establishing this particular proposition and that particular proposition. And finally, I structure my argument. So I have become an argument now. God made me a Teflon, a baby, that did not argue. But now I have become an argument. I think I know, saying, don't tell me, that doesn't mean that. That does not have to be right because you say so. Can you prove it? So I have bones now. Another meaning of bones in scripture is law. Why does it also mean law? Because the law of logic is the law. The argument that you give, you are following a direction of certain things you call laws of reasoning. So society then takes on laws, and they call them laws for society, But the law for the individual is the law of reasoning or his own logic. That is his own private law or his own private skeleton or his own private edifice that holds up his flesh. Some says, I have to defend myself. Don't tell me so-and-so. I have more sense than that. I can defend my own self. So thought is fluid. Flesh means my knowledge. Bones is logic. So he means I can uphold my own flesh. What is flesh? Flesh means that which is with you, that has been given form, and has no power of itself. So it is not mind, it is not thought. Thought is fluid. Mind is like a liquid body of laws, but taken on form. So my edifying ability or my logical or reasoning holds up my knowledge. So flesh means my knowledge. So my flesh is my knowledge. I can defend my knowledge. Means that I can uphold my knowledge with my argument, with my so-called logic. So bones are formed in the flesh. Logic, or rational argument, has formed in my knowledge. Thought comes together seasoned and matures to make knowledge. So you see from blood to flesh, and then in knowledge, with knowledge, we learn how to defend that body of knowledge. And the ability to defend that body of knowledge is called logic or reasoning. And that particular body of argument is the bones for the flesh that upholds the knowledge. It says, tumma kalikan akhira. Tumma kalikan akhira, which means then another creation or a new creation. So after we have been made or created like this, and have come into bones where we think we know everything. I can uphold my own. My flesh won't fall down like a lump. I can hold it up like a man. So the bones are in there now. The flesh is structured upright. My lump will not fall down. I have bones in my lump. I can uphold my flesh. After you get like that, and think you know everything, God said, then a new creation. He has to create you all over again. You crazy, stubborn blockhead. You have the wrong understanding. You ask, how is God going to do this? How can God create me again? He said, he who formed you in the first time is most powerful to do it again. So didn't he create babies on earth? And didn't he form societies naturally before this world went crazy and have all of these weird inhuman ideas? We know how it is supposed to populate and build up. We know how the edifying is to produce the edifice. So Quran Surah 24, Ayah 35, lumps in a glass, lamps in a glass. So the prophet has worked on obeying God so long until there is no effort to obey. Obedience has become the nature of that person. So the morals are not like water that needs a container equals discipline. So there is no container needed. It has already taken itself the discipline. So if there is glass, it holds it that shapes and nothing takes it out unless you destroy the glass. But water is shaping. It has to have something to hold it constantly. Glass, you can move it about. It keeps the same shape. The high morals, character of Prophet Muhammad is described. Nurul al glass, pure, refined, clear, that shows clearly the light. So his character is no more like water needing constant work on it to keep it right or to constantly hold it in check. His morals have become like glass, fixed, as God wanted them to be. So prophets had attained that degree of moral control wherein he didn't have to constantly work on his morals. The Quran, Surah 24, Ayah 35, Allah, light of sky and earth. The Quran, Surah 33, Ayah 46, Prophet as a lamp, Sirajan Mukhmirin. Psalms 23:5, anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over. John 9:5, Jesus, light of the world, as long as I'm in the world. So we have heard that God is the light of the heavens and the earth, and we have heard that Jesus is the light. But here in this, it is very clear that the man is not the light. So the prophet is not the light, but the prophet is a means for aiding that light, for aiding the transmission of that light to those that it means for. So just as the lamp sets in the niche itself helps distribute the light or diffuse the light. So this verse is telling us that man is not the light of God, but a man in his character may help as a reflector of what God light gives, is given, has given of his light. If his character is right, his character will help reflect blessed tree, not east nor west, his universal knowledge. Where is this tree? Is this tree in Sinai? Is this tree in Bethlehem? Is this tree in Mecca? A blessed tree, neither east nor west. A blessed tree, neither east nor west. So what is God's knowledge? Is God's knowledge to be found in Mecca? Is it to be found in Jerusalem? Is it to be found in Africa or in Egypt? Tree that is not limited to east nor west. It is a tree that is universal, universal knowledge. God has blessed us with universal knowledge. So his knowledge is universal. It is not limited a race or to a nation. His knowledge is universal. His light is universal. His light covers both the spiritual realm and the material realm. His knowledge is not a knowledge that addresses spiritual matters and ignores material matters. His knowledge includes both the material realm and the spiritual, the earth and the sky. So where is that knowledge? A parable of it is that the tree blessed by God of that tree, essence of substance, oil, essence of the tree. The tree itself is wood. The fruit is an olive. So the Shriners, they went to Africa, to Egypt. For the light, they went west. Egypt is west. They went west for the light. East represents by China and India. And there are some who go to India and China for the light. That's going east for the light. Mecca is central. It is not in the east and not in the west. So West Africa is east, is Asia. So west is Africa, east is Asia, Mecca is mid-east. So it's between east and west. Mecca sits between east and west. So in a symbolic way, Mecca represents that that is not east nor west, but the light itself is universal. So if God says it is not east nor west, he means that it cannot be found in any locality isolated from his creation. The knowledge extends over his whole creation. The knowledge is universal. Jesus said, I am the light as long as I am in the world. He said that nevertheless, I must go away. Is that right? Okay. So Jesus said that I am the light as long as I am in the world. Meaning that when I die, I am not the light no more for you. So that's not a good parable of God's light. So it's not used in the Quran. Allah doesn't say in the Quran a parable of God's light as Prophet Muhammad. and the parable of God's light is Christ Jesus? No. A parable of God's light is the creation itself. This program is brought to you by New Africa Expert Enterprise, LLC. Imam Dr. Miraj speaks Block Talk Radio. So glass is conscious, morals of profit. So the glass of the lamp helps represent the good conscience, the moral, high moral refinement of the prophet himself. The glass, it doesn't reveal something, hide something, and reveal something untruthful. Clear glass shows you exactly what is behind it. So the prophet's conscience and his nature was clear. So what God revealed to him came out of the reflect perfectly as he received it. So his very character was an aid for his diffusion or message of knowledge that we receive. His very character was a means for conveying light. So the nature is called character. So we speak of the nature of the inner person, the inner being, or the mind, or the personality, the conscience, the morals, moral makeup of the person. We speak of that nature, we call it character. So when it goes bad, we say he has bad character, you see? But we are talking about the nature. So Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, had the best nature. His had been made right. So right, that is his nature, become the supreme example for all other humans to follow. Conscience, his very nature was as a clear glass that reflects the light of God without any impediment or disruption or corruption, nothing blocking the way of God's light. So this is the light of God and a lamp setting in the niche, a prophet setting amongst them. And he himself had become so tuned, so finely tuned to the will of God and to God's revelation that his reflection of God's knowledge as through glass, clear glass, is bringing it to the people. And the people, as the niche, receives it and diffuses it outward so that the whole community, the whole society gets a bit of that light. People being addressed by the light of God through a prophet whose moral nature and character is so fine, so finely tuned by what God commands, that he is no obstruction, that no part of his being is hindered, is a hindrance to obstruct the guidance of the light of God that comes to him as a messenger. So this is the beautiful sign of that light. The light without the glass, it doesn't diffuse nicely, but when you put a clear glass about the light diffuses nicely and the heat is contained in the glass. So the light and the heat are diffused evenly because of the glass. So it is necessary for us to have the right consciences, the right moral makeup, the right moral character. So if we don't have this, then somebody will get burned, but if there is a glass, they will be sick. They will stick their hand and hit the glass and won't directly to the fire. So the character should be separated from the fire and yet be fitting from the fire. Is that right? So here, character now, surrounding the fire. Fire is burning within the character. In other words, knowledge is coming into my own mind, but my character is protecting that knowledge. And that knowledge is shining through my character. The knowledge shouldn't come through my intellect to you. It should come through my character to you. So oil refines the knowledge. So the oil itself without fire to it appears to have life. The oil itself appears to have life. So here the oil is referring to the knowledge. So this is knowledge. The knowledge is oil. And that clear liquid is inflammable. It burns a clear burning. A clear burning, not a lot of black smoke. Dust, choking stuff, clean burning, all burns clear. No impurities in it. So the oil is transparent. You can't look through the tree. You can't look through the olive. But the oil is transparent, which means that it admits understanding. It admits vision, perception, oil. Being clear means that God revealed it, it will show up other things. If I put olive in the cup of olive oil, I can see the olives in the olive oil. And then if there is darkness and a light, the olive, the light will show me what is in the dark. Is that right? So the oil has the power to show what is in it. If it is not pure, not right, or if it has matter, gross matter, it will show up the oil. So gross matter will show up the oil. But the oil also has the ability to give off light. So if there is darkness, the light, the oil has the ability, the power to give off light and show us what is hidden, that darkness. So this is the way that God's light is. The purity of light is seen in the very essence of the knowledge itself. Pure knowledge doesn't show us trees, fruit, and might, 175-pound man, blue garment, a red sheep, a white sheep. True knowledge doesn't show us that. Surface knowledge shows us that. True knowledge shows us the essence of truth. The essence of truth, the true knowledge, strips gross matter, grossness, and shows us our universal light, or one universal knowledge. So matter, energy, this matter, what is it? What is the fruit? The fruit is matter that is formed because of certain activity, growth, and the matter is composed of certain particles, small particles, and certain charges. When we begin to strip the fruit down, eventually we make this fruit transparent. Eventually, we make that fruit transparent. We will reduce that fruit to what? Energy. And energy is invisible, isn't it? So what is matter? Matter is energy. Energy you cannot see. So if we reduce matter down to its finest or lowest denominator or lowest state or cured state, we won't have gross matter anymore. We will have energy. So God's light is like transparent, means that God's light holds the knowledge for understanding the gross matter. With God's knowledge, you can understand the gross matter. You can remove the veil of the fruit and see its essence. Its essence is transparent. So you can remove the veil of a 175-pound man and see his essence. Or transparent, you can remove the veil of the gross matter and see its essence. Its essence is transparent. Fire is understanding. So the fire is the understanding, the knowledge. We get out of that knowledge, and you can't get that without applying your intelligence. So when you apply your intelligence, then there is a friction, an activity, and an activity between what you are studying and that activity helps bring light to your own mind. Is that right? And the light that comes from the oil is not touching. The light is not touching the oil. The fire is not even touching the oil. So there is a space between the oil and the fire. The fire there represents the activity in the human mind. The activity in the human cannot touch God's revealed truth, meaning you can't influence it with your own thinking. Your thinking will not influence it. You cannot come to touch with it. So you must get it from a distance. There must be a space that keeps you out of the influences that not of that knowledge, and that space that keeps you out from influencing that knowledge, keeps the knowledge right and keeps you right. It keeps you human and keeps the knowledge divine. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC. Imam Dr. Miraj Speaks, Block Talk Radio. But some people want to be in the fire. They don't want to get the light from the fire. They want to become the fire. That's not the way God did it. The oil, the essence of truth, it will give us light if we apply our intelligence. Then there will become a flame. The flame is fed by the oil. The activity of our own intelligence is fed by what God has revealed. But our activity is not in direct contact with it. It must get it from a distance. That distance, we call it many things. But what distance represents as one word is faith. Faith. Faith stands between us and what we are studying. And if you eliminate that faith, then you come into the fire. And baby, it will burn you up. But as long as you have faith in what has been revealed, you don't come into the fire to influence it. Come into the oil, not the fire. Correction. You don't bring your own intelligent activity into the oil to infuse the oil. Your own activity is separated from the oil by a space of faith. The Quran Surah 2, Ayah 79, change scripture. The disbeliever, they change the book. Those that don't have the right faith, they change the book. They change the oil, and the oil loses its original value. And then it can't produce a good flame for the world, yet this is the parable of God's light. So the Nietzsche itself is also works to cast the light in the room to help spread throughout the room. The glass reflects the light, helps throw it out too. So here we have light that is receiving help to be spread evenly throughout the room. So the help, the niche helps, the glass helps, people as the niche receives it and they diffuses it outward so that the whole community, the whole society gets a bit of that light. The Quran Surah 25, Ayah 6, Allah made night, day to follow each other. The Quran Surah 57, Ayah 28, double portion of mercy. To King 29, double portion of spirit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said he made the night and the day to follow each other in succession. So this is Quran. The expression darkness in quotation refers to concrete objects. In the long trial of history, many relying upon his intelligence while being under the fear and awe-induced in him by objects in the universe. Many of the figures in the composition of the world, including man himself, has been worshipped mistakenly as God. The same Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who created concrete existent creation created the human brain, the human heart for his mercy. Freedom from the dominance of the concrete world is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants for us. It is one of the two divine mercies given and promised to us in the Holy Scripture. A second statement we are listening here is given in these words: Islam is freedom, justice, and equality. Emotion, mind, like leaf floating. The Quran, Surah 25, Ayah 23, deeds like floating dust. And we shall turn to whatever deeds they did in this life, and we shall make such deeds as floating dust scattered about. Your mind is like a floating leaf in the wind. Whatever pushes you emotionally decides where you will be. You come to the masjid and you get an emotional push, and it pushes you for a while, but as soon as you run into something else, another wind pushes you, and we find that you are far away from where you were when we left you, because you gave yourself to emotional forces, emotional influences. You don't have any good rational sense. You don't have any rational concepts, any rational ideas that's ruling in your life. You need a local principle ruling in your life to survive in this world. No one cares about you but Allah. And if it wasn't for myself, giving myself completely to Allah, I wouldn't care about you. I would be just like you, caught in the wind of the influence in the society. Human life prospers with morals. Human life can't prosper without moral vision. If you want to be successful in the business world, don't you have to have some objects, some goals to reach for? Don't you have to have some business vision to be successful materially, to be successful in the business world? So we are basically human descriptions. We are moral beings, moral creatures. You can be as wrong as you want to be, and that doesn't mean that that's your nature. Your nature is not to be wrong. Your nature is to be right. And you are going against the grain when you are being wrong. None of us can be angels, perfect, without any defect, without flaw, without any sin. Your imam sin. I sin and I commit sin, and I'm not an angel. And I'm not a perfect being. But my path is not towards sin. My path is towards Allah. And when I sin, it is because I have a weakness, because of a mistake, because of a weakness, because of ignorance on my part, and because I am that way. Allah loves me, and he will hurt me. He will trip me up. He will let me know that I went wrong, because he knows I can be corrected. And when I know I've gone wrong, I say, oh, Allah, forgive me for that mistake. Forgive me for that ignorance. Forgive me for that sin. Forgive me for that selfishness on my part. Forgive me for that, oh Allah, I want to obey you. And Allah accepts the prayers of forgiveness, no matter where it comes from. The greatest sinner on this earth, if he prays sincerely for forgiveness, Allah accepts that prayer. And then Allah gives you help. Gives you help. I don't have the high credentials of the high class people of this world, That is the intertuitional credit credentials. I don't have any credit credentials from any institution, no. No great school has given me any credential. Some people think I went to Al-Azhar, Egypt to school. I never went there to school. I am a product of your school. Your children go to Clara Muhammad School. That's the school I went to, except for 3 hours credit in English and a couple of courses, about 6 hours, and a couple of other courses, about 6 hours and a couple of other courses. I have not schooling outside of this school. Simple fact of your life that if you understand them, set them, and live by them, you can be successful. Not only you, but this nation would hear what I'm saying. It could come back to its good senses. Morals can be right or filthy coward to have influences. So the more moral truthful, morals can be false morals, can be lies. It can be corruption. Morals are right and wrong. Morals are filthy and clean. Some people have filthy morals, others clean morals. Some have right morals, others corrupt morals. So just the mere use of the word morals doesn't make a thing right. Morals is only a word that brings to mind right and wrong. The more morals, truthful our vision becomes, the more secure life becomes for us. It is as simple as that. I want to repeat that because if you can remember those few words, you will have the essence of religious truth. The more morals, truthful, your vision becomes. Don't you know we like to blind ourselves? The reason why most of us can't see is because we don't want to see. And the reason why we don't want to see is because we are too much a victim of bad influences to give them up. In other words, we are weak. We have been beaten down by bad influences. We have been made a coward to bad influences. We have become a junkie to bad influences. So since we can't muster up enough strength to throw off bad influences, we want to justify carrying bad influences. So Quran Surah 26, Ayah 7, God made everything in noble pairs. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, Imam Dr. Maraj Speaks Block Talk Radio. Culture's strongest element is true educational science. Inheriting the desert, the reference for Hagar and her children, is we're not going to have any of the educating servant people inherit our culture. Go make your own. So start your own culture. It's just like going to a desert. There's nothing born there yet. And desert has been used as a symbol for the absence of cultural development in our dictionary. Culture is more than just entertainment, beautiful environments with flowers and stuff. The strongest element of culture is a true educational science, because it is usually the science and the education-based reality that improves the culture of a people, take on new growth. They go up in the north and read this little sunlight. There is not much life up there, is it? So you do not go there to find all of the beautiful flowers and the luxurious farmland that you find in the warmer zones. Up there in the is the pole, you expect to find the absence of that. And it is because of the sun, they get little sunlight up there, long periods of night, short periods of sunlight. Sunrise is like the birth of the sciences. So the birth of the sciences is like a sunrise. And in time, the sunlight savors that area, produces just so many different kinds of growth, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, beautiful paths and beautiful relationships, not just with each other, but a relationship, the content is community life for human beings. So in relations to others, beautiful growth, politics included, don't they all, the beauty in the physical environment supports the soul and the spirit and the nature of the soul, and it gives beauty to the landscape and rich and the poor like it, and the high up and the low people on the ground, grassroots, it, and it just forms relationships, and all of these contribute to our good social life as citizens. So the water that God addresses when he tells us how he started growth, everything had its beginning in water. And Genesis says, in the beginning, there was darkness and the spirit moved along the face of the water. And the things started to happen, right? What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, behind that a few centuries afterward, was tied right into that. But instead of saying, in the beginning that was darkness, and giving that same story, it said everything living had its beginning in water. So water is darkness, land is light. And then it gives several levels of light in the Quran. And it says, and the water is darkness. Water is darkness and land is light. It doesn't say that. I'm just carrying it further. You don't set a fire in the water, you set it on the land. We say he is just blowing off steam. So when the water man and the fire man produces and the water produces, when they get together in a clash or in a debate, fire is built, the fire man is big enough, every time that water man throws something at him, it turns into steam, like a puff of moisture in the air, and it is gone. It disappears. You know the expression in the Bible? In the beginning there was the Word, and the Word took on flesh and dwelled in the life of man. That is not exactly the wording, but that is the message. The Quran in its books in upright position, Qiyama, the Quran in the highest evolution. The Quran is a book of previous books in their corrected form, but that is the way it is translated. But the word in the Quran is not corrected, not exactly. But you can arrive at that understanding from the language of the Quran. But what is the exact words, Qiyama? It comes from the word, its root in the stand up. So the meaning is standing up correctly or reaching the standard position in its highest evolution or in its highest progression. So that is what the word Qiyama suggests to me. So the book is there, corrected form, or the books progress to their intended progression. They were not meant to stay there. It was meant for the Holy Spirit to inspire those people and guide them into further progression of understanding. So what God gives in the Quran, highly glorified is he, is language to start that interest again. So it will continue its progression until it reaches the progressed state that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends for that understanding of that language. So in the beginning, there was the word, and you know the rest of it. I gave it just now, but you know it. We know it all by heart. So the Quran comes back with the language with kun fayakun. Interfaith, Quran child, innocent. The Quran, Surah 27, Ayat 1. The Quran verses make matters clear. Isaiah 11:6, a little child shall lead them. Interfaith transparency. The Quran is a book that comes clear, open, transparent. Scripture, guidance, it looks up against minds influenced by the world. Imam W.D. Muhammad, the world stage is changing, you know, for help to mankind, and the language says a lot that is being used in the righteous circles of educated religious people who are interested in coming together, whether they belong to the same religion or not, to address the problems for mankind and looking to see, are we contributing to that problem? And religion has contributed to that problem, and religious leaders now are coming together, those who know that and want to change. They are using such expressions as transparency. The secular world is also using that term, but the first time I heard it was years ago from religious leaders who were meeting to address problems of society, the world that religion might have contributed to. The transparency is not a new occupation for religious leaders, but it is a new term. And not entirely new, because the Quran says that this book is a book that comes clear and open, transparent. And I think that the term politically stated, I think in Russia, when one of the Russian leaders said they wanted to promote one openness, and another term that has come as an expression is spiritual reading. It is now a popular expression amongst those religious people, leaders on the world stage who wants to see if we have had a role that contribute to this mess that we have in the world. If we have, let's so the correct their mistake, they're going to read scripture again. You can have a disposition that would give you, as Muslims, you read the Quran and all of God's precious jewels are locked and you can't get them out. You can't reach them. No road for you to go and follow to find them. And it is the same for Christians. If their minds has been influenced and directed by the world, many of them can't find the precious teachings of Jesus Christ. They read the Bible, and they read nothing but rituals and stuff, and they miss the precious direction that Jesus represents as a sign for man to reconcile his life. Again, with nature as Adam did, he is the second Adam, Jesus Christ, reconciles your life again with the nature created by God, and then you will find patterns for your thinking and will bring you to the great destination that God wants you to reach for your capacity and your potential inside of you, a virtual heaven on this earth. That is what God wants for us. Innocence says a child shall lead them. It won't be a child. It will be a grown-up, but it will be someone who is an influence in his intent or in his design on the world. He will be as innocent as a child. Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, said, if your child asks for bread, will you give him a stone to break his teeth or something teeth? He stone it. feast on that. Bread is supposed to educate because it begins with a seed. And you grind the seed into powder, and then you add to the powder water or whatever, and you end up baking it, and it comes out so delicious. But if you would just take grass seed, it would not be so nice. So in the Bible, they even call the seed stone. So actually, what Jesus Christ is saying, why do you give them unfinished teachings? Give them the teachings in the first or the raw state that you get it in. Use your intelligence and break it down so they understand it and appreciate it and have pleasure tasting and digesting it. That is what Jesus Christ was teaching them. And in the Quran it says, Muhammad the Prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, had been missioned, taught by God, and he comes to you to do what? To teach you the book and the wisdom. In Arabic it is al-kitab wa hukman. The wisdom means the logic for coming to or performing judgment. The logic that directs you the way you should go to form a judgment on a particular matter. We teaches you the book and the wisdom, and it says about purifying you. If you are not purified, if your mind is not cleansed and pollution that the world puts you in, your head is not taken out of it, you are not going to be able to read the book, not to speak of getting any wisdom. So I think we should dwell on this, the Bible scripture. And Quran, they are giving on different levels so that the person who is uninformed, uneducated, can get much to help his life. And life can be sufficiently taken care of by that which is formed of the ground level, first level. But it goes to higher levels, to the most advanced intellectual thinker, and even the thinker of the saintly people who have reached a high level of intelligent progression for the soul. It is on all of those levels, and what should be taken literally is do not lie, do not steal, do not cheat, do not deceive, do not be nasty, be decent. Do not be stupid, be intelligent, etc. That is the teaching in Scripture that should be taken just like it is. It needs no interpretation because common nature tells us how to receive it and practice it, right? So if we have the decency to do so. So we are closing out this segment here, which I think we have more than one part. We don't want to come back because I think that we need to address this again. The forces is everything in existence. And everything in existence has one word, universe. The universe is one verse. So that should tell we should be able to read all of it as one and the same reading or one line. One statement, and the statement should be, God did this, not you. The Quran, Surah 28, Ayat 5, Allah gives us this land as inheritance. Allah says, my servant shall inherit the earth. This has been said to people before you. They have gone up to the top of the world and have reached all over the globe and have enjoyed freedom and power. Allah speaks of the human design and associate his gifts of grace, goodness, and all such things for that purpose. Now, if you want to be foolish and let the wickedly deformed creatures have it all and deny yourself, that would be your problem. I'm a Muslim, and I say utilize resources. It's for me. Now, if they don't measure up better than I do, I say that I will have more legitimate claim on these bounties, material grace from Allah, and I'm going to move more aggressively to get my share. If I can get enough of you to hold on sinning in power are in trouble. The sinners in power are in trouble. We will be strong competition for Allah's creation-based resources. The Quran, Surah 28, Ayat 7 to 10, Moses in the basket. Exodus 2, 3 and to 7, Moses in the basket. Moses' basket equal Jews learned from Egyptians. Moses was put on the river, and he was put in a basket. Is that right? And floated down the river to Egypt. Moses was a baby when he was put in that basket. Is that right? So Moses didn't know nothing when he was put in that basket. Okay. Who taught Moses? It was Egypt. Egypt taught Moses. So Moses here, though Moses is a prophet, Moses in this story, in his story, is the allegorical, is really the Jewish people. So they are telling us that they got on the river. So river means that they got into the spiritual order, that they got into the religious society and it brought them to Egypt so that they would learn and get knowledge. Now, the book says that Moses was put in the basket as a baby and floated down the river into Egypt land. Is that right? So what does this mean? Who is Moses? Moses in this story has double meaning, always. Scripture always have a double meaning. It's a snake with two tongues. Snake with forked tongue. So when he speaks here and he speaks there too. All right, Moses was floating down the river into Egypt in a basket. What does this mean? Moses, in Moses, we have a picture of a whole Jacob or Israelite society. And floating down the river means that we were not seeking in Joseph. Jacob, pardon me, tone, now, we were not materially strong. We were a baby. Basket represents small material strength. So the basket represents material strength. See, a basket is just like a little bit of material. It is so light you can float it on the water, right? So the baby and the basket represents the development of that society. That society morally and spiritually was still a baby. That society and knowledge still a baby. That is the history of the Jacobite people that is known now as Jews. And their society went down the river, means that they didn't go into Egypt as a material society or as an economic society or as a political order. They went into Egypt as a moral society. They went into Egypt as a morally moved society. They went there riding the water, meaning riding the strength of moral purity and moral power. They went into Egypt like that. Surely Allah speaks the truth. We will continue this next Wednesday and Thursday at 7 p.m. Inshallah, it only means if it please God. We thank you, our honorable listening audience. First, we thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Imam Dr. Murad, speaks for allowing us to come before you once again. And we thank you, our honorable listening audience. May God guide us and have mercy on us. And bless us with the light of understanding as I greet you in the Arabic language. As-salamu alaykum, peace be unto you. And thank you for listening.